Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking around the issue of blockchain technology. That's been one of those things that we've been looking at quite a bit over the last couple of months, weeks. We've been following, things like the cryptocurrency markets for some time on this platform. But for today, we are looking more specifically at the technology that underpins things like cryptocurrency, and that is blockchain technology. And for today, we are joined by Standard Bank, and they're going to be telling us how they are implementing the issue of blockchain when it comes to the bond market. I'm very interested to hear what's going on over there. I think the bond market is one of those things that is a big source of foreign funds into South Africa. So very big, very important piece in the economy. So it would be interesting to hear what's actually going on. And to help us to unpack what's actually happening, we are joined by Ian Putter, who is Standard Bank Group's head of blockchain's center of excellence, and he's going to be giving us some insight into what they're doing on that end. Ian, greetings to you today.
Hello, Madiba. Thanks a lot for inviting me to talk to you today.
The Blockchain Center of Excellence at Standard Bank, maybe you could just talk to us briefly before we actually get into the meat and potatoes of today's discussion, just around what it is that you guys, are doing over there. I'm picturing a skunk works of some sort, where people are, experimenting with the latest technology, just around how they can implement it, in the financial services sector. Am I off, or is that, what's going on the ground?
No, you're not very far off. We are the Blockchain Center of Excellence, forms part of the Innovation as a Service team. So we are functioning across the Standard Bank Group with many other participants as well, and part of the bigger innovation team, to be on the cutting edge, to experiment with blockchain technology, to look at use cases that could help our customers grow ecosystems and help to grow Africa, which is part of our strategy. So that's what we do. So we've got developers, business experts, and we're working closely with business across the bank and then with people across the world, networks and foundations, and also the Blockchain Research Institute to help us to create a path for this new technology and to enable us to leverage off all the benefits that it brings.
So with that in mind, I think in the beginning we did mention the fact that you guys are looking at ways of, bringing blockchain technology towards the bond market. Maybe before we get into, the blockchain bit of things, some insight, maybe you could talk to us about what's happening in the bond market and what specifically in there, you guys are looking to actually fix or to either fix, to increase efficiencies, whatever it is that you guys are looking to do when it comes to blockchain.
Well, if you look at bond markets, and we've had discussions with a few African countries like Nigeria, and there are lots of people that actually want to invest in bonds, but they don't always have the opportunity because typically your big investors, corporates, banks, hedge funds, pay large amounts of money to purchase these bonds. And if you put it on a decentralized bond exchange, it will reduce the cost significantly. The existing bond markets, also, if you think about it, there's large back office operations, inefficiencies that increase the cost of these markets. And if you make it more efficient, that can democratize and enable lots of people to invest in bonds across Africa. It could also attract a lot more investments and make it a lot cheaper for the issuer of the bond. So that's basically what it's all about on the distributed ledger technology. And if you think about it, on a blockchain solution, a lot of the work that's done today, even the coupon, the interest payments, the settlements, if you look at a centralized market for securities in general and bonds, you typically split the securities from the settlements. And on a blockchain solution, you will actually integrate those into different layers, and it become there's an opportunity to facilitate what they refer to as atomic or seamless real-time settlements. And if you look at a balance sheet, even from an accounting perspective today, you've got your cash and you've got your securities separately, and there's processes for accounting, operations, risk management around all these separate processes. The blockchain and the solution codifies basically all the legal, transactional, operational, and accounting processes, if that makes sense.
No, it certainly does make sense, you know, from that point of view, because I'm just imagining that within the actual bond buying or bond selling process, that there's probably a lot of admin, you know, that's involved, a lot of processes that people need to keep an eye on. And I can imagine that if you're a broker, for example, you probably have entire departments that are sitting there with people, man hours, etc., making sure, you know, that all the trades, you know, what is traded is actually settled, you know, that, you know, all of these things, because I do understand that in markets, you have all of those different discrepancies. So how much of an efficiency are we talking about here if something like that was to be implemented? Because I think the bond market is huge.
Yeah. So the efficiencies here, and we've done some research on that, is actually huge. It can lead to 80% reduction in costs. Just from a processing and an administrative perspective. In some instances, I don't want to go into too much detail here, but if you look at some of the next generation blockchain capabilities that's available, they can do transactions at a thousandth of an American cent. So that's how scalable they are. So to make it technical, you can actually almost reduce processing costs to minimum, very, very low costs. And you can imagine the benefit that's got for the issuers as well as the buyers. And the buyers and sellers are seamlessly connected on this network. And the KYC and the know your customer and anti-money laundering and all those kinds of risks are managed in this next generation blockchains. So it's evolved significantly over the last three years. But again, it depends on how you design your solution. It can be public, it can be permissioned, you can build in lots of privacy, and depending on your design, it will be slightly more expensive, or it can actually approach zero cost.
I think, you know, for the bean counters out there, an 80% cost reduction in anything, you know, sounds like a very excellent, proposal and something to, you know, really salivate about. But when it comes to something like that, where do you see what you're doing, I guess, you know, being applicable, you know, do you sort of, because at these early stages, as much as the technology has developed over the last 3 years, like you said, it's still probably early days in terms of implementation. Do you sort of see this as something that becomes an in-house sort of standard bank thing, or something that you guys could probably possibly then offer, you know, over to either other brokers, industry players, buyers, sellers, maybe even, I don't know, the Reserve Bank as a way for them to keep a record of what's going on in the market?
I think the difference between a decentralized exchange and a centralized exchange is exactly that. You've got many nodes participating on this blockchain. So it's not a standard bank issued. We will provide the platform and work with blockchain foundations and very specific protocols, but it's not going to be like a private permission blockchain where Standard Bank provides the service, if it makes sense to you. It's a decentralized capability, which means anyone could issue their bonds on this platform, and then the business model and the revenue model on these exchanges are also totally different from today, where you've got lots of intermediaries. If you think about this, typically you will be charged for every single process that's run on an exchange has got costs linked to it. And by integrating that, that is, and the central bank also made a statement in one of their proof of concepts that for financial services and a lot of industries, the main threat is not the blockchain technology, but the way that it disrupts processes. So think about intermediaries today, any business, where something gets produced and then there's a guy that goes and picks it up, there's logistics, and then eventually you find it in a store. Everybody's got to take their cut. So the difference with a blockchain solution is all those processes are codified, and then people actually reaps the benefit. And it brings a lot of trust with you, well, because you don't have to check 6 or 7 different systems to make sure that the bond is reflected accurately on a valid, accurate, and complete on every different system that's in that value chain. It all becomes one ledger where all the data, the buyer and the seller can see it. And then there's lots of people that participate to ensure that the transaction's valid.
One of the things that's really striking me, Ian, as you're walking through the rationale behind the case for, you know, decentralized ledgers and things like that, is I'm just trying to draw parallels to the growth in other parts of the blockchain market, such as cryptos. And you sort of get the sense that around the world, people are yearning for something that is different. They are, you know, in some ways, a lot of governments, a lot of central banks, a lot of people in the industry are grappling with this issue of what the future of finance will be. Will it be? There's a lot of advocates for decentralized finance. You know, a lot of advocates for, you know, keeping it centralized and rather, you know, doing digital currencies, for example, that are central bank focused, right? Whereas others are saying, no, let's let this thing be decentralized. And as you're running through the rationale, you were mentioning all the different players along the way, the middlemen, the people that get their cut, etc. And I'm just thinking, is that not an impediment? Because will those people not block the implementation of something like this if they can see that they're going to probably lose potential revenues or, you know, money or earnings that would they would otherwise be collecting, you know, through that value chain that you are describing?
It's exactly the same. If you look at if you look at the fourth industrial revolution, and if you look at blockchain, it's similar to all other revolutions that we experienced over the ages, where you get people like the Luddites that come and break the machinery. There will always be people that will say to you, this is going to cause a lot of job losses. That's typically what people say. But in the event of blockchain, it will create, it removes a lot of inefficiencies. Just from an accounting perspective, it is an impediment. But there's a lot of manual reconciliations that big corporations and banks do today. And if you really want to scale and provide platform capabilities to lots of customers, you cannot sit with manual reconciliations, if you know what I mean. Automation will also not resolve the issues. You've got to think of a new, proactive way. So if you can convince those that says, listen, I'm going to lose my cut, they, as the world moves forward, there's new opportunities for all of us. And just to link it, if you look at the job markets and the skills that's required today, skills required today is creativity, working in teams. You know, in the past, we looked at individuals or heroes to solve problems for us. A blockchain is a collaborative technology. So instead of every person doing its own, their own thing, this is collaborative. So everybody will work together. So I just think it's a mind shift. But we are, they are lots of negative. I mean, you've got the goo of the past. The way we operate is we use the things that we've done to today to try and extrapolate ourselves into the future. If you can't change your mindset and you have a forced change perspective of efficiency, remember the future is about sustainability. It's about inclusion. So those things for me overrides all these cuts. Instead of one person or redistributing capital, you've got a world, live in a world where it's distributed capital from the start. If you know what I'm trying to say, that's what decentralized economies and blockchains is about. Give democratizing services because it's so cheap. And we've been living in that world. Sorry for the long-winded answer. We've been living in that world. If you look at your mobile phone today, before mobile phones, everybody had to buy a camera. You had to have a fixed landline for a telephone. You couldn't email people. You had to send mails to the post office, go and buy paper. Today, what the internet has brought for us, a democratized information, education, and communication. So blockchain is democratizing value. I hope that makes sense.
You know, it certainly makes sense when you put it like that. One of the examples to sort of add to the ones that you've already given, one of the ones I always like giving to people is the fact that once upon a time there were people that physically used to stand at intersections and physically change red, green, and amber lights. And it sounds like such a weird idea now, but back in those days, that was, you know, that's what was going on. But, you know, in this day and age, a traffic light, you know, was a revolution, you know, back in those days. But now it's the most basic of technologies and implementations that we come across, you know, on a daily basis. So I'm certainly, you know, with you from that point of view. But when it comes to adoption now, they're usually change agents in the ecosystem, people that are more powerful than others or others that are influential. And the bond market is interesting because you've got the government debt, you've got corporate debt, you've got private players locally, and then there's also a big foreign component, right? So of the different mix, you know, in the market, because part of the adoption, I'm guessing, is getting, you know, players in the bond market to actually use the technology. Who do you see as being a driver, you know, of, you know, this adoption that you're talking about?
Well, if I look across Africa, and if I look in Europe and across the world, there are big financial institutions that's driving towards this. I don't know if you're aware of the euro bond issue, the $100 billion that was done this year. And there's also a few blockchain protocols that's providing tokenization capabilities. So the technology and the providers of the technology are big drivers, but financial institutions are. But a very interesting development, and that's true for stablecoins as well, is that corporates are also big drivers of this. Remember that if you decentralize something, that can disintermediate a lot of players. So there's also corporates that's driving this. And then I think if you look across Africa, the countries that I've had exposure to and very entrepreneurial individuals, this drive also comes from your normal citizens, your public, that says, I also want to have an opportunity to invest in these corporate bonds. How can I get access to those if I don't have a lot of money? But it is going to take a little bit of time to get there. Regulations, compliance, it's not going to happen overnight. Let me just be very clear on that. And the business models must also be understood. But that's typically the drivers. And then there's a few governments. Kenya, there's a few articles where a few countries in Africa were looking at issuing bonds on blockchain technology and are considering at the moment.
And with everything that you're talking about, it really does sound like it's a journey. You know, to say that this is not something that's going to be, you know, thought about today and tomorrow we are going to be using it, because, you know, money is sensitive enough in households. But when we talk about it on a macro national scale, it usually takes a lot to make central banks and governments move, especially where we are questioning a financial system. And to your point about the different countries and the things that, you know, they're doing. Part of the question for someone who's listening to this discussion and saying to themselves, okay, cool, this sounds like something that could actually be implemented. One of the big questions I'm anticipating is, how does someone choose the right distributed ledger, right? Is it an issue of, okay, fine, we want to do this, let's create our own? Or do you sort of go out into the market? Are there third parties that are providing, you know, some of these services? You know, maybe you could give us a little bit of color around that.
Yeah, there are today across the world and in South Africa, there are many service providers, developers, as well as foundations that can provide these services for you. So to build it will take you a little bit longer, is my view, my personal view, to physically partner with some of these foundations, specifically next generation blockchains. You must look, if you want to build a big ecosystem, is it scalable? I mentioned earlier the cost, and that information is widely available. And then also, if you want to use smart contracts, if you need a crypto that's embedded in the technology, those are some of the things that I would consider. But it's very easy to contact someone to help you. And what's great about this environment is that people are very keen to build POCs. I can mention lots of partners that we're working. We're working with multiple partners. And you will find that some partners are better with non-fungible tokens. Other ones are better with stable coins. At the end, all of them can do all of these on the distributed ledger technologies or blockchains. But you've got to mix and match until you find someone that meets your requirements. And some of the what's great in this world, sorry, this is a mind shift. Typically, when you build on legacy technology, you invest a lot of money. Some of the blockchains today will incentivize you to build on their network. So they will almost give you a grant to build your solution there. So it's a lot simpler. So what it does is it lowers the barriers to entry for people to start businesses to build these kind of solutions. And that's something that not a lot of people is aware about blockchain, that it can actually help you. It really reduces those barriers to entry into the financial markets.
So as we draw to a close, on this discussion, Ian, it's been very fascinating, at least, imagining and thinking about, what the future of finance could hold. And I want us to sit in that future for a moment and just dream, for a moment, because I'm imagining from everything you're saying, we've sort of isolated this discussion to what's going on in the bond market, but one could sort of extrapolate use cases, across the economy. I'm thinking of smart contracts, deeds, property, other securities, in fact, that could probably benefit from a decentralized ledger when you're buying and selling equities, for example, that type of thing. Where do you see that future going, in the broader scheme of things?
Well, in 2030, I see that hopefully we will have lots of industries on blockchain, similar to the internet, what the internet did for communication and information, where it will support value, and that across the continent, it will open markets to many different participants, create great opportunities for people in Africa to do cost-free cross-border payments, to import and export their products, to tokenize African art. I see a huge opportunity there to facilitate that global access to funding by individuals, protecting infrastructure, water, creating a sustainable environment, and facilitating for anyone to generate capital to start viable businesses. Because what's also great, if you can issue tokens to fund your business idea, that the market and the world will tell you this is a great idea, and that will attract lots of funding. And it will also bring more compliance and trust in the environment. That's my dream.
And, quite a dream indeed. And then just, as a quick follow-up to, what you say, for people that want to, maybe start getting their feet wet when it comes to some of these things, are there any products, platforms that are available that people can actually go out and actually access at the moment?
Oh, you can access Adira, Hyperledger, Fabric, Algorand, Cosmos, and there's many, many more. I think if you just Google blockchain and solutions, I'm not biased, so I just mentioned the first ones that came up in my mind. But there's R3Cora, there's just so many, and there are many, many. Even MasterCard and Visa has got blockchain. So, and you can contact me at Standard Bank. I'm very happy to expose people to some of these companies. And then with those platforms, there's a lot of developers in the world that's building solutions, file storage, medical use cases for the medical industry, value chains, trade finance, funding, non-fungible tokens, art. There's just so many opportunities.
So many opportunities in the blockchain market. Those are the words. Those are the words of Ian Putter, who is Standard Bank Group's head of blockchain center of excellence, giving us some insight into what's actually going on, you know, in the world of blockchain. But more importantly, we focus today on how blockchain could be used in the bond market, and you know, some of the research and work that they are doing, you know, to actually bring that into reality. But he is saying that it will take a long time for, you know, some of this stuff to actually happen, because it requires a fundamental shift, not only from us, you know, on the ground, but, you know, from a state and national planning point of view, because it has to do with a shift in how financial markets and financial systems work. And he's also talking about, you know, how other countries have also started experimenting, you know, with some of these things, singling out an earlier euro bond issuance earlier this year, as well as you know, what's going on in places like Kenya on the continent, sort of showing the fact that this is something that is being thought about across the world. I think recently we actually had an episode where we were reviewing the government of El Salvador's you know, implementation of Bitcoin, you know, as you know, form of legal tender. That's how they've decided that they're going to look at the issue of decentralized finance. And that was one of the big things that we spoke about, to say that, you know, how do we move people beyond the status quo to actually show them that, you know, a decentralized finance might actually be something for the better. Ian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Madiwa. It was a pleasure. And thanks for the opportunity.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Whether we like it or not, blockchain and its series of technologies and developments that it has brought, such as cryptocurrencies, are here to stay, it seems, at least for the foreseeable future. And it is interesting to see how people are developing on top of this technology. And I really look at how some of the big financial institutions, we recently had a discussion with how Old Mutual is thinking about you know, investment in the cryptocurrency space. So it is cool to see that you've got a bank like Standard Bank, you know, the largest bank on the continent, actually coming and saying how can they use the underlying technology, you know, to attack other parts of the financial, you know, financial market, such as bonds, because bonds are a big source of foreign investment into the country. And, you know, the implementation of blockchain on that end would probably go a really long way to making sure to at least growing the adoption around blockchain technologies, you know, moving forward. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.